A young scholar walks into a university examination room in Tehran, 1942. He is defending a dissertation no one has defended before, not because the topic is obscure, but because the degree itself has never been awarded. Muhammad Moin became the first person ever to earn a PhD in Persian literature from the University of Tehran, and his dissertation tackled the influence of Zoroastrianism on Persian literary tradition. That is not a minor footnote. That is a man standing at the edge of a cliff, building the bridge as he steps forward. Now, to understand why this moment mattered, Muhammad, you have to feel the pressure of the era. Iran in the early 20th century was a country caught between ancient identity and urgent modernization. Rasht, the northern city where Moin grew up, was a cultural crossroads, exposed to Russian influence, trade, and a relatively open intellectual atmosphere compared to much of the country. Tehran, where he later studied and taught, was transforming rapidly. The University of Tehran itself had only recently formalized advanced academic programs. Think of a country trying to write its own future while simultaneously rediscovering its past. That tension was the air Moin breathed, and it sharpened him. By the age of 34, he had already achieved the rank of full professor at the University of Tehran. That is not a slow climb. That is a sprint. The key idea here is what his doctoral work actually unlocked. His dissertation was not just an academic exercise. It was a declaration that Persian literature deserved the same rigorous, scientific treatment that European philologists were applying to Latin and Greek. Moin faced a specific challenge. There were no established models in Iran for how a PhD in Persian literature should look. He had to define the standards while simultaneously meeting them. That is a rare kind of intellectual courage. Remember, the 1942 PhD program was not just a personal milestone. It was a turning point for Persian national identity. It signaled that Iran's literary heritage was a serious field of scholarly inquiry, not merely a cultural inheritance to be admired from a distance. The establishment of that program, and Moin's role as its first graduate, gave an entire generation of scholars permission to treat their own language as a subject worthy of the most demanding academic rigor. For example, consider what happened when Moin's reputation brought him into the orbit of Ali Akbar Dehkhoda, the towering figure behind the most ambitious dictionary project in Persian history. Dehkhoda trusted Moin so completely that he named him specifically in his will to oversee the completion of the Dehkhoda Dictionary. That is not a casual endorsement. A man of Dehkhoda's stature does not write a scholar's name into his final legal document unless he believes that scholar is irreplaceable. That meeting, and the trust it produced, is widely considered one of the most consequential moments in Iranian literary history. It connected two generations of Persian scholarship and ensured that the dictionary project would survive its founder. Moin's early academic rigor, his insistence on etymology, on tracing words to their roots, on applying scientific method to language, made him the only logical choice. His own Farhang-e Moin, the encyclopedic dictionary he produced, became the first Persian dictionary to use a modern scientific method for lexicographical indexing and linguistic etymology. That distinction matters enormously. The takeaway from all of this, Muhammad, is not simply that Moin was talented. Talent alone does not produce a first-ever PhD, a full professorship by 34, a named role in a legend's will, and a dictionary that redefined the field. What Moin represents is the power of treating a living language as a serious intellectual object. He arrived at a moment when Persian identity needed defenders who worked with footnotes and evidence, not just passion. He answered that need with precision. This course is built around his life and his dictionary, because understanding Moin means understanding how a language survives, how it gets documented, and how one scholar's obsession can become a civilization's most durable gift. That is where we are starting, and it only gets deeper from here.